flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Favorite guest that we ever have on. Of course, you roam the sidelines for the Browns as an interim head coach, defensive coordinator. He's my favorite quarterback ever from Excelsior Springs High School, Missouri Hall of Fame. He is our starting quarterback right now, and now he's DC of the DC Defenders, and he's got everything going on, and he never hesitates to tell you the truth on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He is Greg with 2 G's Williams. Hello.
What's up, Greg?
Hey, fellas. I appreciate you guys so much, and it makes me smile when I hear you talk about that stuff. And don't ask me a question that is going to hurt your feelings. That's your fault.
Love it.
Goodness.
Oh, I love it.
So you hear one of your guys, Myles Garrett, come out and say, "I have requested a trade from the Cleveland Browns." And your initial reaction was what, Greg?
Well, you know, there's never a dull moment in our NFL. There's never one that way. I have tremendous respect, and I care about him, you know, like a family member. And I know I've told you guys a story before that he would not be a Cleveland Brown had I not put my foot down in the draft meeting that day on who else they were going to draft that with the first overall pick. And I have a lot of caring for him. But I also, you know, once I saw the thing that come out, you know, I stepped back a little bit, and I don't know if I'd ever told him the stories, but, you know, I've been very, very fortunate to coach in my tenure, you know, a lot of players that are now in the NFL Hall of Fame, and I believe that Miles is on a course to have a chance to do that. But one of my favorite players of talking to, one of the toughest guys I ever had to coach against, was Calvin Johnson at the Detroit Lions. Mm-hmm. You know, and one of the topics I talked to him about was that he's one of those great players that I had to take two guys to whoop one guy's ass whenever I went against him, because we couldn't go one-on-one with him. I had to come up with different ways to, you know, get the quarterback not to go ahead and go to him. And he played his whole career without ever having a chance to compete in the Super Bowl. So when I saw some of the comments that Miles made, I did have some direct feelings about that. But I do believe that he is a great Cleveland Brown. I do believe that Jim Schwartz has done a fantastic job with what he's been able to do and continue to help Miles grow. And I think Kevin and And Andrew and those guys will continue to do some good things, but we'll see. It's day to day, week to week, game to game in this NFL season and this NFL career. So I hope the best for him.
Yeah, Greg, I want to come back to Myles Garrett here in a second just because you brought something up. When you said you put your foot down to get him in the draft room on draft day to make sure he was number one, how often does that happen, and what's it like, and how contentious can that room be depending on the people who are in there?
Well, I turned down my med school scholarship to be a dumbass football coach. But one of the things that I flunked in college was politics. And again, I'm not that political kind of a person. And when you ask me my opinion, I'm going to give you my opinion. And during that time that we were here, you know, because I played quarterback and I also was an offensive coordinator for a bunch of years too, you know, Hugh Jackson asked me to scout, you know, in his mind, the top eight quarterbacks and to go about, you know, how you go about coaching against them and doing all that kind of stuff. And so I did. And the person that they were going to draft, I had at the bottom of the third round. And so it really pissed me off that we were talking about Myles Garrett and this guy, which was a quarterback. And that's not what the first overall pick is all about. And then they're going to be battling through some of those same discussions this year with the second overall pick.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to understand, you know, the value and what it's going to do, not just for your needs. See, that's what free agency came about. Free agency allows you to go and address your needs. But the draft has value. And the draft also is for a long time coming. It's not just a one game or a one season or two season type thing. You're going to have these young men for quite a while. So it was somewhat contentious. But when all of a sudden I said I was going to talk to you guys, you know, and talk to the press, you know, somebody asked me a question about my opinion on, you know, how do you like the person that was drafted first overall when I was my first season there. I wasn't going to lie if someone told me about it. I was going to be honest about it. So whatever, they changed their mind once I talked about several things in there. And we got Myles Garrett, and I was very happy for that.
Good job. We're glad you did it.
And we thank you for
now
that.
Now we just need him to stay.
Now I need your defensive coordinator opinion, your head coach opinion. If you're a 3-14 team and you're trying to, you know, get back on the tracks, is it more helpful? Is it better for you to have one of the premier players in the game, or is it better to turn that into three or four players who might not be of the same caliber, but who can play and start for you? How do you approach that dynamic, Greg?
You know, the big thing that I would do right now, and I'm glad you asked that question, is I would be thinking about, you know, taking a look once we got through the whole process, and it's a several month process. But would there be a way that I could go into free agency and solve the quarterback answer and get somebody at a value that could help us do that? And then, is there a way that maybe I could move around and collect more picks and get more depth? I do really believe that Andrew and his staff is, you know, scouting staff is very good there. And I think that they've added an awful lot of depth and good players and good philosophy type things with what they've been doing and being able to address, you know, some of the salary cap problems and all that kind of stuff. So I would be looking to, if we could, you know, bring in a free agent quarterback. And then if we got a younger one down the road, that's, you know, down the draft a little bit, somebody they can learn from, but also address some of the other needs if we could trade out of that pick.
Is it possible to run a team when you know your best player, like, wants out the door and he's, I mean, like, how does that affect the rest of a team? How does that affect the coaching staff when your best player says, I don't want to be a part of this anymore because we're not going in the right direction? How do you keep everything moving forward in a positive direction?
I do believe that that's another outstanding question, is that, if you want to be respected as a person who stands in front of you every day and is looking to win Super Bowls and to win championships and do that type of stuff, you have to be able to address the best player in the room the same way that the players that are at the bottom of your roster that are going back and forth between practice squads and being released and all that type of stuff. Grown men understand, and you know, I learned that from a lot of the different things in the military academies and the different training programs that I saw and went and visited and talked with them about success training and all that kind of stuff. And as I talked to the a lot of the different soldiers and stuff, did that at the White House too when I spoke there and the Secret Service and all those places there that I was able to do. But those players are evaluating you. Every day is an interview. Me to you, you to me. And how you go about and how they're going to go about addressing and handling this thing with Miles face-to-face and with the rest of the team involved is going to be a telling factor that you can trust me or not. And that's every day. And I'm going to be anxious to see how they address that. And I do believe they've addressed things before in the right way. And we'll see how this goes.
Greg Williams joining us, former interim head coach of the Browns, defensive coordinator of the Browns, soon to be defensive coordinator of the D.C. Commanders coming up in the UFL, or excuse me, Defenders. So we're looking forward to watching you do that, Greg. Tell me where this team sits. 2 years ago, you win 11 games. You're thinking you're pretty good and you're in the playoffs. This year, it drops to 3 games. Are you somewhere in between? Is it easy to go? I mean, it seemed easy to go from 11 to 3. Is it easy to go from 3 to 10? How do you do that?
I believe the NFL has kind of established itself, you know, in the almost 40 years that I've been involved in it, to be a very balanced league, you know, and 8-8, 9-8. Soon to be 9-9 with an 18 game season, is those are what is worked hard to try to be able to do with how they've got everything done with draft order, salary caps, and all that type of stuff. But I do believe you see how easy it is to go from 11 wins to 3 wins when you can't find ways to win the one score games, not two-score games, three-score games. That's a total different dynamic that's happening behind the scenes on very poor draft choices and very poor salary cap management and those type of things. But good coaches, good teams are the ones that can win and be involved in winning the one-score games. And take a look this year with Andy Reid. You know, and he's one of the best coaches I've ever coached against. He's one of my best friends in life. And going all the way back when he was at the University of Missouri as a tight ends coach back in the 1990-91, sometime later where they had me speak down there when I was at the Houston Oilers and just starting in Houston. We go all the way back to there is that look at the one-score games that the Kansas City Chiefs have been able to win, and we want to talk about that dynamic. I do believe that the Browns could have done a better job in some of those one-score games this year, and it could have changed a lot of the personality of the team. And that's the next phase, and I think Kevin and his staff will do a good job, and I know Jim Schwartz knows that inside and out on what they're going to have to do to be able to get back into those one.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you can do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And score games.
Greg, you were able to be on a team that crossed the finish line and won a Super Bowl in New Orleans. What's the difference between a team that wins a Super Bowl and teams that get close?
Well, you remember the 10 years prior to that when you saw Kevin, the wide receiver, end up less than a yard short when the Rams beat us in Super Bowl 34. Mm-hmm. And so I came from, you know, the Super Bowl 34 loss, that it was inside a half a yard, to be able to take that win, to then being able to do what we did in Super Bowl 44. Every single play is big time plays. You know, with 3 minutes and 31 seconds to go in the game, we were able to intercept the ball, go 78 yards with Tracy Porter, you know, to go up on the Colts and Peyton Manning. And I think, you know, one of the stories I don't know if I've told you guys about is that when the stadium erupted with 3 minutes and 31 seconds to go, when we took it all the way back, there was a shot of me walking down the sideline, just looking at my play sheet and stuff calmly, not celebrating, not doing anything, because we got to go back on defense. But they saw me go out on the field and say something to Peyton Manning, who had flopped and tried to get a clipping call when it wasn't a clipping call, but he had flopped. And I said to him, and he snapped his head around laying on the ground at me, and I kept on walking, and I didn't show much emotion. And the reporter said, "What did you say to Peyton?" And I looked over at the PR guy, who happened to be my PR director when I was a head coach of the Buffalo Bills, and he was in charge of me at the Super Bowl that year when we had over 6,000 reporters there at that game. And he put his head down, and I looked. I said, "What did you ask me again?" And they said, "What did you say to Peyton?" I said, "Honestly, what I said to Peyton was, checkmate, MF-er." And so now every single time he sees me, he shakes his head across the room like, "Really? Checkmate? You had to say that?" Yes, I did. And so anyway, they're not easy to do, and they're always very fun to be in. I can't wait and see this game here. And again, I grew up just outside of Kansas City. My youngest son was on the Chiefs there for a while with the Raiders and Chiefs. He played middle linebacker at Virginia Tech, All-American and everything. And when he left the Chiefs, he broke his pelvis and it wouldn't heal. And ESPN was asking him, "Why wouldn't your pelvis heal?" as he's walking out the front door. And everybody here in Kansas City knows me because I have a huge foundation for kids and all kinds of stuff here, and grew up here and in the Kansas City area. He says, "Well, you know, I sat in my meeting and my dad's meetings, everything growing up. And every time he would get really mad at some of the players because they wouldn't pay attention, he would always tell them, 'You look, it's about genetics. Your mom and dad couldn't play. And the only way that you could have a chance to play for, you know, Coach Williams is do what he says. And if you don't do it right, then you won't be there very long.'" And so I evidently, the reason that I couldn't get my pelvis to heal, I got bad genetics from my father, and I got to leave now.
All right, we're going to run out of time. Two questions. What happens?
That was going across the screen for 2 days on ESPN that Chase Williams got bad genetics from his father.
I just want to do one Thanksgiving at your house. That's it. Just one. All right. So what's the final verdict on Myles Garrett? Where does he end up? What do you think happens when this thing's all said and done?
You know, my hope is that everything, you know, calms down and everything ends up being good there for Cleveland. That's what I hope, you know. But I do know here, I would say here in the next week or two, there'll be several different other teams that they'll go back behind the scenes, and I'm sure a bunch of them will call me and want my opinion, you know, just on him as a person, him as a player, you know, coaching him and doing all that type of stuff. You know, so we'll see, you know, if the trade volume increases that way. I would not be shocked that if all 31 other teams aren't looking at a way, to start the process and take a look, because he's that kind of a player. He's that significant of a player. But now it's Cleveland's responsibility to go about calming the issue, doing things right, getting him ready to go to continue to be a Cleveland Brown, and that starts at the top down, so we'll see how it goes.
All right, last question, who do you like Sunday?
Well, you know, born and raised here in Kansas City, I can't, you know, go against them. I do like what Saquon Barkley has been able to do, and I love the front and the offensive line set up there at the Philadelphia Eagles, but, you know, Kansas City, you know, I'm pulling for them. And then the other thing on top of that is that it'll be interesting. Another friend of mine, Pat Riley, you know, I don't know if you saw the publicity out there now. He patented the three-peat many years ago.
Yes, and he did.
So they get this three-peat. And if anything sold that way, a bunch of money would be going back to Pat Riley. And he donates that to all kinds of charities to help out other causes across the country.
That's awesome.
That's awesome, yeah.
Greg, as always, thank you. Good luck with the D.C. Defenders. We're always rooting for you, and we love having you on. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Coach.
Hey, you guys do a great job. It's about the fans, and hopefully they had a good time, and hopefully that they won't get mad at this MF-er.
Goodbye, Greg.
See you, Greg.
Goodbye.
Daniel, you didn't hit the dump button once, did you?
Oh, man.
No, I don't think I did.
I
don't think we did. That's a new
beautiful.
Record.
That is a new record.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.